And it's a morning and a whole new day, a whole new life for the gentleman that you're about to meet. I remember this story so well. It was August of 2012. Mm-hmm. Two people die in a house fire. I'm sure you covered it, too. Mm-hmm. It was an arson fire. The alleged arsonist was a member of the family at the time, Dwayne Williams, and he was convicted of felony murder, convicted to a life sentence. He served 11 years of that, and then just earlier this month, that conviction was vacated because of a number of flaws that certainly at the time should have raised red flags. But on June 18th, Dwayne Williams, after 11 years of incarceration, was freed, and he is in our studio now, along with Maya Menlo, who is the assistant defender for the State Appellate Defender Office that handled this case that allowed for his freedom. Dwayne, good morning.
How you doing? Good morning, guy.
It's great to have you here.
It is.
I just got to tell you, there was just a moment when you stepped in here and you looked over at mine and you said, help me silence this phone. Help me turn this off. Few things have changed since you were out here.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I was telling, that was like one of those little things that I'm sure you're having to deal with now.
Yeah, I was telling her, it was the second morning I was out. And I was in my room, and the night before, my brother knocked on the door, and he, like, talked to the radio to turn it down.
Alexa.
Right. So as the night went on, the radio was on, but I was worried that it was disturbing either my brother or my nephew, so I kept saying, Siri, volume 8. So when I finally, at some point, fell asleep, and in the morning, my brother knocked on the door, and he asked me, he said, "How you doing? Everything all right?" I said, "Yeah, but Siri won't listen to me." He said, "That's because it's Alexa."
So just the little things about how life changed while you were gone for more than a decade. So tell me about that moment when you got the news.
First of all, we didn't really think that I would be released on the 18th. We knew that the convictions would be vacated, but we didn't think that I would be released that day. So when I was in court, first of all, when the judge vacated my sentence, I was like, I like teared up because I knew it was over. I couldn't believe it was over. Mm-hmm. And then they moved on to bond.
Excuse me.
When they moved on to bond, Ms. Menlo was explaining the reentry plans. I had two reentry plans, and Judge Cobb kind of cut her off. And he said he wanted to know about a particular person. And when he said that, I thought in my head, wow, he thinking about giving me bond, which we didn't think was going to happen. And it was unbelievable when he did what he did. It was unbelievable. So
Maya, talk about some of the evidence that led to him, you know, coming out and having that be vacated.
Sure. So this case came to the State Appellate Defender Office in 2021, and pretty quickly we realized that this was the type of case that could go to the Conviction Integrity Unit in Wayne County. And little background here, the premise of the state's theory was that this was an intentionally set fire, that it was an arson.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The defense theory was that this was a careless smoking incident where perhaps a lit cigarette had been dropped into a couch and that resulted in the fire. And nobody disputed that the area of origin of the fire was the couch. So that was plausible. But the fire investigator from the Detroit Fire Department came and testified that there was no evidence whatsoever of smoking, that no smoking materials had been found. In our investigation, through FOIAs and other means, we obtained photos of a lighter that was in the area of origin near the couch. And we also obtained a version that had not yet been disclosed to the defense of a fire report that included information about that lighter being there. After that, once the Conviction Integrity Unit got involved, there were more disclosures and more revelations, including witness statements that had not been disclosed previously that contradicted some of the state's evidence. And given all that, the Conviction Integrity Unit agreed that these convictions were wrongful and that they could not stand behind them. And so they stipulated or agreed to vacate the convictions.
Dwayne, you have stated all along that you did not do this. You were innocent. It took someone believing you and working for you. You were emotional sitting here next to me. Thank goodness that someone believed you and did the work.
Yeah. I think the worst part is, like, I probably, like I was telling Ms. Menlo yesterday in our office, that I would come out into the day room and like we can move around at 6 o'clock. So at 6 o'clock in the morning, I take all my transcripts and all my legal stuff, and I start trying to figure things out, trying to like figure out how I can show what happened to me. And a lot of times it'll be 10 o'clock at night when the lights out, and I've been at the table all day, and I wrote like, I don't know, I got, if you can see like that and that, that's from writing
you
letters.
You have blisters on your hands.
Yeah, from writing letters. And so to finally, like, it was a blessing to get somebody like Ms. Menlo, because most lawyers, they don't listen to you. And she listened to me. And it's like when you're going through the appeal process, you meet with your lawyer one time, and that's it. And they don't accept your phone calls. I had countless meetings with Ms. Menlo and countless phone calls, and that's like unusual. That doesn't happen, and that's why, unfortunately, I guarantee you that it's so many cases that need to be overturned, but they don't have the help that I had. Mm-hmm. And so it's sad, not particularly speaking just about Detroit and Wayne County and however that system might work, but the overall system is sad that it doesn't work, because you have all these entities and departments in place, so you would think that the system would work, but these entities kind of don't pay attention to you. So
you're grateful for
yeah. Beyond words.
This was a deeply flawed conviction, and the judge agreed with that, vacated it. That's not an exoneration. So where are we with that, and is there something more that you need, Dwayne? And Maya, I want you to weigh in on the same question as well.
Yes, so where we are right now is that the prosecutor is reviewing the case for the viability of, for example, taking it to trial again. The Conviction Integrity Unit is separate from the rest of the prosecutor's office. Mm-hmm. And so this case is now in the homicide division once again, being reviewed with fresh eyes by a different prosecutor than the one who handled the case initially. So that review period should be about 60 to 90 days. And at the end of that time, hopefully we'll know whether they're dismissing the case or moving forward. And of course, we'd hope that given everything that happened, they'll dismiss the case entirely.
You know, unreliable testimony was part of this as well. And we see this all the time. I mean, how common is that in these wrongful conviction
cases? The jailhouse snitch.
Yeah.
We see a lot of cases involving jailhouse informants. So I can't put a number on it, but there's a large proportion of wrongful convictions that are based at least in part on unreliable informants. And then police who get involved and take statements that they may or may not know are unreliable.
And then, especially in Michigan now, that's like it's starting to come to light more and more of that problem. I know like the Oakland County prosecutor, I read where in Oakland County now, the police can't use an informant statement without her approving it. So it's coming to light. And I mean, if you would just like look at some of the past exonerations, mm-hmm. and you'll see a pattern. Mm-hmm. So hopefully the more that it comes to light, the more that'll stop it.
So there is a question about this is a fix for your conviction, but have we fixed the system so that doesn't happen again in Oakland County? Apparently they're taking steps. I want to get to that issue and that question. Can you stay for a few minutes?
Yeah, definitely.
Maya Menlo, I got to ask you, obviously, we've got a number of counties now that have these conviction integrity units that do these important look backs. And when they do find that mistakes were made, my question is, does anything change? Is the system improved so that it doesn't happen again? And are people held accountable?
Well, you know, here in Wayne County, we have one of the oldest conviction integrity units, if not in the country, then in the state. I think in 2017, they opened up. And since then, there have been around 40 exonerations, which is wonderful. There are undoubtedly many more people who are in prison who shouldn't be. And I think that by training people, by first of all, shedding light to the wrongs that have mm-hmm. been done, that's huge. And that does make a difference. Then I know the Conviction Integrity Unit and other departments within the prosecutor's office do training to try to prevent issues like this in the future. But just the CIUs being part of the system is a major reform.
Because the resources are to help people like Dwayne, but also it's still a backstop and a check.
Yes, absolutely. And for someone like Dwayne, there is very little that can be done at his at the stage in the process that his case was in. But the Conviction Integrity Unit is a new pathway and a new outlet to have the case reviewed and for the prosecutor's office to say, hey, wait a minute, we can't stand by this.
But doesn't mean that there won't be future Duanes.
No, I don't think it guarantees that. I mean, the Conviction Integrity Unit is more backward looking than it is forward looking. Mm-hmm. Certainly they're concerned about reforms, and I think the whole office over there is doing what they can to prevent situations like this. But they don't control everything. They don't control what the police do. They don't control what the fire investigators do. I mean, there's a lot that has to go right for the system to, you know, get the right person, if you will. And even then, when they do that, what's the appropriate sentence? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of questions and a lot of reforms that we still need. But certainly we're very grateful that the Conviction Integrity Unit took a look at this one and did the right thing.
When these political candidates say criminal justice reform so generally, what does it mean to you? What could be done to help?
I think that some kind of way, and I don't know how, that integrity has to mean something. So you can have all of these things keep happening over and over and over again, but if nobody does anything to change it, if I don't know if it's going to be training, I don't know if it's maybe getting rid of all of the bad apples. I think that there's in some places, there's systemic problems, mm-hmm. and if you don't get rid of those systemic problems at the root and change the culture of different entities, not just in Detroit but all over, then it's never going to change.
And there'll be more Duane. Yeah.
Right. It has to at some point become not acceptable.
You know, what do you say to those? Because you put in work, Duane, when you were sitting there. You were not just sitting in jail. You put in work, you know. So what do you say to others who are wrongfully convicted, who are looking to get a second chance to be released?
You know, what I would say to somebody like that, the people who I felt sorry for the most were people who couldn't read. Because I had the ability to go into the law library and figure things out. So educate yourself. Is believe it or not, it's people in prison who will teach you how to read. Prisoners who will help. I've seen it so many times. They'll help you. You just have to help yourself and don't accept your situation. You can do something about it.
Especially if you know that you're wrongfully convicted.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. You have to fight. You have to fight.
And just keep going.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You're 53 years old. You're a young guy.
Okay. So I take that. Well, if you give it.
There's some miles. There's some miles on the odometer. But right, okay, you're a young guy at 53. Mm-hmm. What's next?
I really hope that I'll be able to develop a platform and to connect and network with people who fight against wrongful convictions and fight against the wrongs in the criminal justice system and social justice. And I just want to. I really, really, really. It's like the fight is. It's kind of over for me, but it's not over because it's too many people in the same situation.
You want to fight for someone else.
Somebody has to help them. Somebody mm-hmm. has to help them. And I wouldn't feel right if I didn't.
What did you do the day that they let you out? I mean, did you celebrate in some way? Was it food? Was it entertainment?
They let me out. They let me out like late at night,
okay,
which is a crazy story. But I want to thank the director of the MDLC, a little prisoner. I would thank the director of the MDLC, Police Commissioner Darrell Woods, and I don't even know the chief at the Wayne County Sheriff's Department's name. But I got out late. The next day, though, all I've been wanting to do is just sit by some water. And luckily, I have a family member who has a boat, and I was able to go spend time on a boat and just sit at the water and think. That's where I'm going to go when we leave here, probably. I'm going to go just sit on a boat and just relax.
I know that's right.
All right. Duane, we're happy for you. We hope that the review of your case will be an objective one. Which is what you didn't get before, apparently, and that they will make a decision that allows you to help other people.
Right, and before we go, if you don't mind, I just want to thank, the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office, the CIU, and Kim Worthy for the decision that they made and for doing the right thing. I'd like to thank Judge Cobb, Rick Wersey, right boy Rick, I'd like to thank him, Jim Wahlberg, the brother of Mark and Donnie Wahlberg, because they play at a crucial time. They came in and helped me.
Okay. So, oh wow! Are you looking for a job? Is that something we could help you with?
Yeah.
What would you like to? What would you like to do?
How about a little radio? I really would like that, but anything dealing with just helping the world be better.
Oh, that's so sweet.
All right.
Well, and I want to thank Ms. Menlo and the State Appellate Defender's Office because they are amazing. She is amazing.
Well, we thank you for getting up early and coming down here to the Fisher Building and being here in person. It's just great to meet both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. It's an amazing story, and we can just hope that each one of these makes our system a little better for everybody.
Right.
Maybe a little more colorblind,
Lloyd. Yes, right. Definitely.
And maybe certainly, and but we understand these prosecutors are under intense pressure to get convictions. The alleged victims in these crimes all want justice, and we just got to find those. And we got to get those scales to balance a little better.
That's it.
Lady Justice is
not
holding.
Assume.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have a big day tomorrow. We got a 90-minute debate tonight. It could be. We hope that it will be more light than heat. But we have seen in the past that that might not necessarily be the case. So we'll be here to break it down for you with some of the highlights and some of the lowlights, if there are some, and hope for the best for those that truly are seeking information from these two presidential candidates.
And who knows if we get a decision from the Supreme Court on presidential immunity.
We could. And maybe they won't do it, but it'll leak out. There's... We
got enough of those. Right?
Shelby Mechanical needs to go to the Supreme Court.
There's a serious leak, Ron. Go over there to the Supreme Court and fix that with that hydro jetting service.